With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
You're listening to The V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So how do you feel about this? Rock Nation, is that what they're called? Rock Nation? Rock Nation is Jay-Z's company, right?
Yeah.
Will advise on selection of artists at NFL events, including the Super Bowl. Since the NFL has been consistently criticized for who they pick,
I don't think that's a terrible idea.
Delegate it.
But I also think that it could, you know, Rock Nation could be a little skewed, too.
That's why I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, again, we seem to want to make everything here just as complicated as we can. Oh, that's why that's not working.
All right. I something smells back here. Sorry. I don't know.
Green.
No, I don't know if it's coming from my backpack or my shoes or...
Ah, see, you might have the same problem I had with my shoes.
No, something just smells... It smells bad. And I didn't shower this morning,
yeah,
but...
That, you answered your own question. That's your question.
No, there's your answer.
You're a sweaty guy.
This doesn't...
You solved it.
I've gone far longer and been far sweatier without a shower due to working two jobs and whatnot, and I haven't smelled what I'm smelling now. So I don't know what it is, but I'm taking the Febreze that I bought when I stunk up the studio with the Brussels sprouts, and I'm hoping that will mask it. But I like it smells like something died, and or I left... Like
people always
a sandwich
say that, and I don't mean
backpack.
To be really crass, because somebody out there who knows this maybe was in war, but how do we know it's something smells like something died? Who knows what something...
Well, have you ever... that is like a smell. Like, I mean, I had a summer job, like, was it 3 or 4 years ago, I guess?
Smelling dead things?
No. And, like, something died in the building I worked at.
I need your code.
It's my birthday. Doesn't know it. Types in Jamie's birthday.
Doesn't work.
Did it.
There you go. No, but like if it's not like, you know, it's the smell of rot. Rot.
Okay.
Something rotting. Decomposing,
yeah.
If you will.
So something's in it dying, you think.
Oh, what? Maybe I left an apple or something.
But all I know is like the maybe because they just don't care as much. I watch the Grey Cup like every year. The Grey Cup has a different halftime show. It's the Super Bowl scaled down to the proper dimensions. Their halftime show, the halftime crew is only three announcers, so everybody has time to talk instead of Super Bowl here where they get eight people in there, and they, let's go to the halftime analysis. They threw the ball really well. John, they ran the ball pretty well. Joe, the defense was really good. Joe, I thought they blitzed more. We'll be back right after this. They actually talk a little bit, and the show is generally a Canadian band, so they can sell it that way. And I think it's pretty, you know, they've had Shania Twain do it a couple of times, and BTO, I guess. They're an old rock band. But the shows are always great, and nobody ever seems to raise a stink. Why is it so damn hard to get a show here in the Super Bowl? People lose their minds over the damn halftime show. I don't understand that. I just don't get it. There's an industry of people who get hired to come and kill hogs that are eating your garden and livestock. There's a whole industry of that. That's how many feral hogs there are, which I still think would be a great name for a clothing company.
You want to get in the hog killing business?
I think wild hogs will devolve to have tusks and be really nasty in a few generations. Is that true? Can that happen? Or is that guy just pulling my proverbial chain?
Ask Darwin.
It's impossible to hum while holding your nose closed.
Yeah, it is. Try it.
Wow!
Oh, wait. I just did it.
No, you didn't. No, it's right. That's a good one. It's not really humming. You got food in the corner of your mouth. It's... Like, you can't do it. That's so cool. Oh, that's a good one.
I'm pretty sure I was humming.
It's also
there.
Impossible to kiss your elbow.
No, you can do that.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
I can't.
No, you and I can't. We're not flexible.
You can't kiss your elbow.
People, or maybe it's lick your elbow. Yeah, you can lick your elbow.
Whatever.
I don't French kiss your elbow. You can't French your elbow.
Yeah, that's illegal in many states. All right, people wanted to hear this interview, Leslie Visser with Rick Pitino, with good reason. This is from CBS Sports. So without further ado, it's the Leslie and Rick Show. Here you go.
It's been a tumultuous few years for head basketball coach Rick Pitino. After 17 years at Louisville, Pitino was fired in 2017 after being named in a federal investigation involving bribes to high school recruit Brian Bowen. That came on the heels of another scandal involving staffer Andre McGee, who provided strippers to players and recruits. Out of work, Pitino landed in Athens, Greece, where he led Panathinaikos to a Greek Cup championship before declining an offer to return for a second season. He recently sat down with Leslie Visser for a wide-ranging discussion on all the ups and downs, beginning with an urgent family matter that prompted his return to the States.
I have a grandson that has a form of epilepsy, and there's only 300 people in the world that have this. He's 1 year old. And I wanted to spend the next 6 months helping my son and daughter-in-law just uncover every, turn over every stone to find a great geneticist, to find out answers, because we don't know. It's so rare. I'm just trying to use all my connections that I've made in my 40 plus years in coaching to try and find a doctor that can help in some way. But in 6 months from now, hopefully things will be better and I'll return somewhere.
You know, you said about Louisville that you understood their right to terminate you, but you rejected being terminated for cause. What did you mean by that?
I get called in. I'm working there 17 years. I did so many things to help that university. So they call you in and they say, look, this FBI thing is coming. Do you know anything about it? We want you to resign. I said, I know nothing about it. I have absolutely nothing to do with any of that. Take your time, relax. I'm more upset, looking back on it, that they fired the athletic director than they did me. Deep down, they knew I was innocent of anything with that whole FBI thing. They really basically fired me for other reasons with probably what went on in that dormitory.
How does a lowly paid assistant hire and sneak strippers in without you knowing about it?
I'd be the last person to know about it. I'm responsible, but I'd be the last person to know about it. There's not a coach in the world that would jeopardize their future because bringing strippers in a dorm is not going to help you get a recruit. It's only going to get you in trouble. The fact that even though it only happened a few times a year for 4 years, the fact that it never got out on social media is the most amazing thing of it all. Security in the dormitory didn't know anything. My nephews, they were managers, lived right near Andre McGee. They never saw a single thing.
But kids talk. I mean, what, you think these,
well,
like,
six of the
other players?
Six of the players, led by Luke Hancock, sued the NCAA for taking away their championship, saying, we knew nothing about that. So think about this, Leslie. How the hell was I supposed to know that? Now, am I the leader? Yes. Do I have to take responsibility for anything that goes on? Yes. I can't sit here, though, and say, I should have known, because if I could have known, I would have stopped it within 10 seconds. And I don't know what I would have done. It would have been very, very severe to the people that did this.
Right after that entire scenario, you said, you know what, I am going to recommit to knowing my staff, to knowing what they're up to making sure that I, like you said, it's my responsibility that I know what's going on. How did that lead to Brian Bowen?
So every single day, I preach the same thing, because now I'm fearful of losing my job after that incident. So I'm really on edge. Every meeting I said, you guys are getting ready to go on the road. Follow the letter of the law. Do not do anything wrong. Our jobs are at stake.
Where was the disconnect?
The disconnect is that assistant coaches take shortcuts in life. Oh, the head coach, he doesn't understand the game. We've got to do this to get ahead. You do it the old-fashioned way. You know, you write 100 letters. You innovate. You get creative in recruiting to get a young man to come to your school. Taking shortcuts is a way to get yourself out of the business.
If and when you go back to coaching in college, what would you do differently to try to ensure that this does not happen?
That's the whole point, Leslie. There's nothing I could have done different, because I mentored these guys and taught them the discipline and the rules the same way I did it for 30 plus years.
Would you ever go back to Louisville?
100%. I love the University of Louisville. I love the University of Kentucky. I love the people of Kentucky. I'm not going to let 5 to 7, 10 people spoil my feelings for a place I've spent 17 years. The one thing you learn when you're 66 is, man, put it behind you and start, get over yourself. As time moves on, there now comes the Chris Beard of Texas Tech, the Tony Bennett of Virginia. These are the future stars of our game that people are concerned about. Certainly not me.
Patino's assertion that he had no knowledge of the recruiting misconduct uncovered by the FBI investigation was supported by evidence presented in federal trial. As for the NCAA, its investigations into programs, including Louisville, linked to the corruption scandal are ongoing. Be sure to catch more of Leslie's in-depth interview with Rick Pitino August 23rd at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on CBS Sports Network. And we'll wrap things up next.
So there you go. So that's a tease. That isn't even the interview. That's just a greatest hits selection from the interview with Leslie. It's kind of hard in some ways to argue a lot of what he says. I mean, in the sense that when you're listening to this testimony and the David Grissom thing, it just sounds like it was a complete cluster. And if that's the case, I mean, how in the world people got fired, it is difficult to understand. Most of you know, I mean, I did not have the most peaceable relationship with the athletic director, so I can't pretend that, he and I were close buddies. But the whole thing now is starting to sound very, very odd in terms of who really knew what and who didn't. And so, you know, it's hard to argue. Rick's made some decisions based on what? Who knows now? Because you really believe a board member was behind this? I mean, I just that's absolutely mind-boggling to me. And I doesn't do much for me, the Grissom's testimony, because the conversation as he related doesn't seem to follow logical conversational sequence. He told me it was a board member who did this. And did you ask him? No. Did he volunteer? Well, what the hell? Doesn't make any sense on any level. So it's just painful. It's painful to watch the whole thing transpire. Personalities aside, the fans have suffered. It's sad. It's just sad. But I don't know if we'll ever get satisfactory closure to the thing. Like Sullivan asked Pence, Tim Sullivan asked Steve Pence, so did Rick reach a settlement in his lawsuit with Adidas? Can't comment on that. So we don't even know. The stuff with the university will be more open because I guess it's got to be by laws because of a state institution. I don't know. But I do know this. It's craziness out there. And, it's certainly not something that has been very peaceful for anybody to go through. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Thanks for being with us. It's Paul Biancardi going to join us next here from ESPN on this Wednesday here on ESPN 680 105.7.
Hey, be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Hey, I want to remind everybody that the V Show is presented in part by Universal Windows Direct. Summer here, another hot day. You know, if you're paying for your air conditioning to go out the window, you're accomplishing nothing. Your street is still going to be hot. And your house is unfortunately not going to get any cooler. You need new windows. You need to call Universal Windows Direct. First of all, they use super spacer technology. It's aerospace technology, which makes the seal of the glass better. It lasts longer. They don't use traditional metal spacers that other windows use that break down more quickly. And they're conductors of heat and cold, so the energy literally goes out the window. Super spacer technology will make your windows last longer and be more efficient. In fact, it's a true lifetime warranty. It's as long as you own your home in 30 years to the next homeowner. And I keep talking about how great they are and how they'll save you money. They also look great. You really have got to take advantage of this offer if you need new windows. Even if you're just the ones you have are just old and outdated, on top of all the wonderful things you'll save money, you'll also have a house that looks, it has a new home look when you put these windows in from Universal Windows Direct. Right now, you can replace your old drafty windows, get no interest, no payments for 18 months. You'll enjoy the benefits of new windows right away. You won't have to pay a dollar until late 2020. Restrictions do apply. And always remember that this is a warranty, as I said, for as long as you own your home and 30 years to the next homeowner. You cannot beat that. That's a company that stands behind their product. Don't wait. It's a limited time, this offer. And these are the last windows you'll ever need. Schedule your free in-home estimate today at UniversalWindowsDirect.com. Give your house that new glow with new windows. Pay no interest until 2020. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows. All right, I can tell that Nick has got Mr. Biancardi on the phone because he's got a big smile on his face and he's chatting away. So that's always a good sign that he's got Mr. Biancardi on board. So we will join him in just a matter of moments here. The signing the other day of the reclassification and then the I don't want to say Kentucky. That's not fair. Really, it's not fair. I'm just being candid. Oh, Kentucky losing a kid. Well, all the other schools except Oregon technically lost the kid. I mean, so that doesn't make a lot of sense. So, but the fact of the matter is it's changed the landscape in terms of where Oregon is related into in the national picture. And what does it mean for Kentucky? Well, we'll ask Mr. Biancardi about that if he joins us in just a moment, and I believe he has. So, Enfale Dante going to Oregon. This is a guy that reclassified and certainly has made people's perception of where they rank change quite a bit. Let's see what Mr. Biancardi's got to say about that. If I can reach the button to push him on, there he is. Paul, thanks for being with us, buddy. Tell me, before we talk about it from UK's point of view, let's talk about it from Oregon's point of view. How much of a difference does this make? Does it make them a player on the national landscape? What's the impact?
It's a big impact because, I mean, he's a big guy. He's a true seven-footer. Got that 7'5 wingspan. Hard-working guy. He's in the mold of a Clint Capella-type player. A little bit like Charles Bassey, who was at Western Kentucky, better than Bassey, though. And he reminds me at the same stage as a real young Dikembe Mutombo.
Wow.
He's a shot blocker extraordinaire and a high-level rebounder. That's where he makes his name in the game. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be like Dikembe or come anything close. Just the mannerisms, and you understand this, Bob, the ability to run the court, block a shot, grab a rebound, be a real post presence. We don't see that anymore. Everybody has skill on the perimeter, and everybody wants to shoot jumpers. This guy wants to do it inside in the paint. He wants to do it at the rim. He's a lob catcher. He's a finisher. So he puts Oregon in a nice position, certainly for the upcoming season. He's a one-and-done type player. That's why he reclassified up. That's what these guys do. They reclassify up a year to get into college quicker, get into the NBA sooner, and he'll be on draft boards. Won't be a real high pick in terms of high lottery pick, but he could see himself in the late lottery, certainly in the first round.
You know,
he helps Oregon in the national picture, I think, top 20, top 15.
Well, here's the thing that's fascinating. I'm glad you said that because I look at this and I realize it's been a lot of years since I coached, and you, frankly, it's been a lot of years since you coached too, but you're staying on top of it by doing what you do now. The calendar seems so bizarre to me now. Here's what I mean. Correct me if I'm wrong. If we'd had this discussion, well, I don't know, say April, I don't know, about that time maybe, we'd have looked at Oregon and said, my God, he's in trouble. That program is a complete a train wreck. And now you look and where nothing's in the old days, this would have been a time you were done. Basically, you signed your recruits early and that was, you had who you had and you went forward. Now you got guys reclassifying, you got grad transfers, and as you pointed out, they went from looking like they were a train wreck to possibly being a top 15, who knows, top 10 team. I mean, how much has that changed everybody's mindset about how they have to recruit?
It's changed a lot. What it does is it's really not over until school starts.
Yeah, that's true.
It used to be over. Okay, in April, you didn't get who you wanted. You move on to the next class. Maybe, just maybe, you get a transfer over the summer, but he's not going to be eligible till the following season. Now, reclassifying up, grad transfers, even high school kids that are changing their mind, even if they signed in April, the one school, they may decommit want to go to another school. So there's a lot of hope still for college coaches in terms of recruiting. And when you think about this, Bob, as we get closer to the point in basketball where the high school kid can go right to the NBA, they're going to go through the NBA process with an agent. They're going to throw their name into the draft. They're not going to like where they are. They're going to pull out or wait till the draft is over. I'm not sure what the rules are going to be. We're going to see the high-profile kid who doesn't decide to go into the NBA after the information that they get start picking colleges in June.
I just wonder, and I don't know if there's an answer to this, because the weird thing is, you know this, Paul, I mean, well, maybe not as much as me, because you spent your, I think, exclusively your coaching career at Division I, but I spent a lot of time at the non-Division I's. A lot of those places half-kiddingly say, well, you know, our recruiting doesn't start till like about April, because you got to find out, you know, where everybody, well, the big guys find out where the big, let the big boys pick the plums off the tree, and then you kind of go see what's left over. I'm wondering how those guys are going to be impacted now, because everything has a trickle-down theory in this game, doesn't it? So now even the big guys are going to be waiting until the summer. I don't know what the little guys are going to do.
So think about this. You're a high-level program, and there's three or four guys that maybe decide not to put their name into the NBA draft out of high school after the information's been given. So they decide to go to Kentucky, or they decide to go to Kansas or Louisville, wherever. Now a kid on that roster is saying, holy cow, I didn't expect this guy to be here. Now he may transfer out down a level.
Yep.
And then to a school that may cause another ripple effect of transfers. So more than ever in our time in the collegiate game, you're going to see a lot of scrambling with recruiting all the way up until school starts. And you mentioned the grad transfers. Some of the grad transfers, you know, they make decisions in April and May and June, which is pretty normal time. Some guys wait it out and make a decision, you know, in late August, early September, because they can't. They don't have to. They're not signing papers. They're just making a verbal commitment. Basically, wherever they show up on campus is where they're going to go to school. It's not for a large population, but I would say it's going to be about 10% of college basketball. And you're right. It trickles all the way down to the small college level.
I think there's no question. Paul Biancardi's with us. So, obviously, you saw him. And Fali Dante was the MVP at the Peach Jam. How impressive was he there?
And, you know, it's hard to do when you're a big man because you need people to get you the ball.
Correct.
And Kennedy Chandler, a junior guard out of Memphis, he's in our ESPN 60. He was dropping dimes and serving up lobs to Dante. This is what Dante did. He crushed the glass. He had a little post-up jump hook game, blocked shots on defense, and every ball screen he set just ran right to the rim. Chandler threw it up there. There was no rotation in summer basketball defensively, and at least it wasn't very good.
Right.
And he's getting lob dunks. He plays his tail off. He runs hard. He doesn't wave the finger like the kid in the jungle. I was thinking about which finger I was thinking about. But and Nick understands this.
Yes, certainly. Know, of course son. He does.
But, you know, but he has that presence, that shot-blocking, change-the-game presence. Eligible right away. Sweet kid. Speaks different languages. You know, he comes from Mali. So he's been, you know, like Dikembe, you know, I believe he came to the U.S. late because he started playing basketball at 17, Dikembe Mutombo. And same thing for Fali Dante. Played soccer growing up in Mali, picked up basketball after, and he just continues to get better and better and better. It's not where the game is going or where the game is at, but there's always going to be a need for a rim protector and a finisher and a hard-working 7-foot post.
ESPN's Paul Biancardi's with us. You can go to ESPN.com and find their ESPN 100 recruiting database. Dante was listed for the class of 2020, which is where we thought he was going to be, as the number 18 overall prospect. Now he reclassifies, of course, and he's going to Oregon. Kentucky, needless to say, got to be a little disappointed they didn't get him. What does it do for them in terms of their recruiting? Were they urging him to reclassify for this year? What was their take on that whole thing? Do you know?
Yeah, Oregon, Kentucky, I know LSU was trying. They're all trying to get him for 219 because when you're in the circles, you know the people around the circle of the player. And so there was a strong word that he was going to reclassify right in August, right after the Nike Skills Academy, which he attended out in California last week. And that's exactly when he did it. It wasn't a lock, but people in the know, Kentucky was in the know, and that he was going to reclassify. And they had a real chance, as well as Oregon, LSU, Iowa State, a bunch of schools in there all summer. And at the end, he decided to go with Oregon. But in Kentucky's case, you know, you just move on. You congratulate them. You move on to the next. They have a bunch of high-profile prospects that I think are really good players and high-level prospects on the board that they're trying to get. Jalen Green, number three in our rankings, the best athlete, Bob, in the class of 220. He's 6'5", and he's a freak athlete, and he's a two-guard who can really score, and he's starting to shoot it well. In fact, he played against Ifeoli Dante in the Peach Jam Championship. He went 5-for-6 from three. That's pretty good for somebody who's a freak athlete.
He's got like every school. He's got like every school in the country listed as on his list, though. I mean, alphabetically, it runs off the page.
Well, they're all involved with everyone. Josh Christopher, big strong guard out of California. The West Coast is strong with talent this year. They have B.J. Boston coming in for next year, who transferred to Sierra Canyon, who is now going to play with LeBron James' son, Bronny James. They're a stacked team out west, and Boston is really good inside the arc. I told you, he reminds me of George Gervin with that body.
Yep.
I mean, he's 6'6", 6'7", and he's a legit 175.
Wow.
I mean, he's painfully thin.
Right.
But he is extremely skilled inside the arc.
How good is Bronny, by the way?
Bronny's good. I mean, take that out of the mix in terms of, you know, when I evaluate, I look at who the dad, the mom, the genetics in terms of growth, wingspan, height, and those type of things, and certainly basketball IQ when your dad played the game. And there's other factors that, you know, fathers and mothers can teach their kids that play. But take that out of the mix. Bronny is a Division I prospect right now. And if you said to me, well, what level is he at right now? I would say he's trending towards a high major player.
Really? Wow.
He's definitely a mid-major player. I'm at Wright State. I'm hoping I could get him right now because in time I think he's going to just surpass that level. And he hasn't played a second of high school basketball yet. I saw him in Las Vegas at the big time event. I saw him play five games. He's 6'3", terrific IQ, good scoring skills, handles the ball, passes the ball. The passing is so impressive as a rising freshman, and you know he got that from his dad. He keeps the ball moving. He finds an open man. He'll knock down the three. He'll punch it on a breakaway dunk every now and then. Again, a rising freshman, a bona fide Division I prospect, and trending towards the high major for sure.
I said before the break, so the people might have heard me say it, I'll let you weigh in on this. I'm of two minds seeing it was John Rothstein, I think. It wasn't Gary Parrish. It was John Rothstein. Has Louisville listed number two in his preseason rankings? And the reason I say I'm of two minds, obviously, with all the bad news that's been around this program, that's great. There's some good news, and it's deserved. I mean, they had a great recruiting class. Amazingly, Chris Mack hit the ground running with all the problems that were around here. He and his staff, they've recruited well. They've got a couple of very key players back that showed great progress last year. But there's also, Paul, and you know this, yeah, it's still, no disrespect to what you do, it's still an inexact science when you project all these new faces. Not only the ability, but the chemistry. Guys have to buy in, want to be coached. They got to want to accept new roles, all those things. How do you feel about Louisville being listed number two in the preseason?
Well, I think it's high, but it also, to me, Bob, speaks a lot about Chris Mack.
Yeah.
I think the people believe in Mack outside of Louisville. Obviously, Louisville believes in him, but the media knows what he could do, what he did at Xavier. He's putting together some veterans, as you mentioned, and this class is talented. Now, are they going to freshmen going to play like freshmen, or are freshmen going to play like upperclassmen? They're talented, but will they produce, or will they just perform? And what I mean by that is, will they have great individual performances on a sporadic basis, or are we going to see some of these freshmen able to produce? Okay, you know what? You're going to get 10 points and five rebounds out of this game, and Samuel Williamson is going to be able to get, you know, 15 and five. When will they get consistent? And then you mentioned the chemistry. When you put all that together, I mean, it's a talented team. inside of the ACC, you're looking at, you know, somebody who could finish in the top three for sure, and that's why the high national ranking.
Well, how about and Kentucky? I think in his, am I right, Nick? Isn't Kentucky right behind Louisville? Aren't they three? I think they're three. So, I mean, no surprise there, but what do you make about their prospects? And as related to Louisville, are they comparable in your mind right now? Which I got to be candid again, would be quite a feather in Chris Mack's cap to achieve that in 1 year from where they started to say they're going to go toe-to-toe with Kentucky. Do you see that?
Yeah, you know what? I think that ranking, it's a lofty ranking for Louisville. I understand it. Two's a little high. But in my mind, when you look at the rosters and you look at what's coming back and what's coming in, I like Kentucky a little bit better. I like the depth of Kentucky. And then obviously you got E.J. Montgomery back and Nick Richards back, and you have a graduate transfer. Is it Nate Sestina, I believe, coming in?
Yep, mm-hmm. Bucknell, yep.
So you got those. Yeah, you got those guys. You got your point guard in Ashton Hagans. You've got Emmanuel Quickley. I like those guys back, battle-tested. You know, again, they were highly acclaimed freshmen that now have that year of experience, and you can't put a price tag on experience. And I love the freshman, Khalil Whitney, 6'8", 6'9", that prototypical hybrid forward. And you're going to love Tyrese Maxey. And then you have your local player, is it Deontay Allen, the shooter, scorer. So I like what Kentucky has coming in. At the end of the day, I think Kentucky will finish ahead of Louisville in the polls.
All right.
At the end of the season.
Well, see what plays out. The fact that Louisville's in the discussion at this point, this early in Chris Mack's run, is, as I said, a feather in their cap. They were people that, you know this, they were people, I think you might have even said, hey, it's going to take probably 2, 3, 4 years to get recruiting in place and undo all the negative publicity that's going to surround it. And they said, oh yeah, watch this. Hold my beer.
Yeah, right. No, the recruiting, you know, it's one thing to, just because you recruited well doesn't mean you're going to have a great season.
Well,
it just means you have a chance to have a great season. And they're heavy on freshman Louisville, but Mack is so experienced. I think you're going to see them have a great season. But at the end of the polls, I think Kentucky will have more experience and a shade more talent overall.
We'll see. All right, Paul, it's great to talk to you, my friend. Thanks so much. We'll talk again soon. Be well.
Great. Thank you, Bob.
All right. Paul Biancardi with us on the V Show on ESPN 680-1057. A reminder, big, big event going on at Genesis Diamonds right now, which will go only until August 25th. You know they've got the best selection on GIA-certified diamonds anywhere and the best prices. They buy in cash. They pass the savings on to you. They already, and not every diamond gets to be in their lot here. They are very picky about the diamonds that they will put for sale. So you've got the best diamonds, GIA-certified, the best prices, and now, on top of that, they're taking an extra 20% off. That is incredible. That already lowest prices in the market, now they're taking another 20% off. Genesis Diamonds GIA Diamond Extravaganza, your chance to buy a GIA-certified diamond. Same way jewelry store owners buy theirs. In fact, don't be surprised if you see other jewelers and even diamond wholesalers shopping alongside you at this event. But it's for a very limited time. Only goes from now until August 25th. An extra 20% off on all GIA certified diamonds. And these are all diamonds. All of these GIA diamonds. Rounds, ovals, princess cuts, cushion cuts, pear-shaped, even fancy yellow diamonds. From as small as a half carat to as big as 10 carats. All of it. An additional 20% off. Don't miss this chance to get access to diamond prices rarely offered to the general public, and it's underway right now and goes through August 25th. Genesis already guaranteed best price, and now another 20% off on all GIA certified diamonds only at Genesis Diamonds. It's Shelbyville Road Plaza next to Trader Joe's. It's where Louisville gets engaged. Since I checked the show sheet, I believe we have a VCAP coming up, or a 3 with V. You got something in there. Which one? That's now. No, Laura's a 2. Yeah, Laura's a 2. You said we had that here, and then Laura's a 2. Yeah, and then you had a 6 and 10 after Laura. You didn't even follow your own script. All right, so that's what we'll do. So stick around. That's coming up here on The V Show, ESPN 680-1057.
You're listening to The V Show podcast. Listen to Bob Valvano weekdays noon to 3 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, What?
I didn't mean to talk over you, sorry. Very exciting. I've been doing this for, 4 years?
Okay.
I just realized the new way to do breaks.
And that would be?
No, it's way too inside baseball. And I can't really, explain it without absolutely derailing the show. So I'll just only minor derail it. Sort of like when Indiana Jones goes, around the turn in Temple of Doom, and it's only, halfway off the track. That's what I'll do. And I'll just let everyone know that I'm really, really excited that a simple flick of a button will make liners play in a more timely manner.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
I'm pretty excited. I can only speak for myself, but I don't know about the listener, but I'm pretty jazzed up about that whole thing.
You sound so enthused.
Yeah.
Do you have to go to the bathroom?
Okay, we're going to do a... I don't know what the hell happened here now. Where did your thing go that there was the... the message board that was part of the phone here is gone, of your iPad.
Oh, Google Voice?
Yeah.
Click on the Google Voice icon. It should be on the
Google
third
Voice
page.
Icon?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
I find that hard to believe.
Yes. So if you're on the homepage on Rosie, go to page 3, I think middle or top row in the middle. You'll find Google Voice. It's a white box with a turquoise circle and a phone in it.
It says voice.
That yes.
One. Oh, there it is.
Google Voice.
Tasty.
Was I anywhere close to that, or
no,
was that feral hogs?
Your definition of the third page would have been my first. But when you go through the drive-through and they say pay at the first window, I know what they mean now is right. The first window you come up to. But I always interpreted that as that was the second window. The first window is the one in the front. That would be first,
right.
And the next one would be second. So
gotcha.
So that's why when you said the third page, it actually was as I looked at it the first page, but.
Right. So, all right, we got there.
So we figured it out. All right. People criticizing Paul Biancardi, saying Louisville's got more experience than Kentucky. What the hell is he talking about? He's gone now, so I can't answer for him. I think he's more alluding to – I'm not taking his side, nor am I criticizing. I'm just explaining based on the context in which he said it. I think he thinks there are more – impactful players there across the board, because he is a byproduct after all of the recruiting scene, and the caliber of kids that are returning there are still kids that came in with higher caliber recruiting pedigrees. That's what I think he means. But you're right, in terms of experience, I mean, there's a lot of guys back here that played very meaningful minutes, and they do have two very big important players back, in Steven and Jordan. So as I said, I just the only reason I was leery of talking about the ranking as high as it was is I just fear that people will get impatient early, and I don't think that's a very smart thing to do. I think it is it's still going to be a work in progress. There's a lot of things. I'm not suggesting any of these are going to be problems. I've talked about this before, but. You know, how will Jordan adjust to, I think he really was looking to leave and he's coming back. And I remember when Montrez came back, he was determined to show everybody in the NBA, I can shoot it. And for a long time, he played to his weaknesses rather than his strengths. Again, not implying Jordan will do that, but you got to deal with that. You got a lot of new guys that all of them may turn out to be every bit as good as you'd hope they'd be, but some may not. And even if they are, they have to learn roles. Everybody's got to learn where their place is. So it's just I still think you'd be wise to use the early part of the season as an evaluation in terms of a work in progress rather than if they don't come out and light the world up and fire in the first week, say, oh, they're not as good as I thought they're going to be, or even worse, if they play really well, that's great. But how will they develop over the course of the year? Certainly getting to the ACC is going to be more of a challenge than some of the non-conference games that they'll have early, although they do have some good non-conference games in the early part of the schedule, too. So the point I'm making is just be patient. That would be my
Let
the cake bake. All right, here it is. We got time to bust this out here in the last minutes of the hour. It's a VCAP, and it's coming up right now on ESPN 680 105.7.
It's time for the VCAP.
There he is, the voice of progress.
On the Bob Valvano Show on ESPN 680.
All right, let's find out what the first story on the docket is as we go to the newsroom and Nicholas Michaels.
All right, so we'll start with a little quick baseball nugget here. Our boy Brendan McKay made his two-way debut last night for the Rays, pitching and hitting, as they played, I believe it was the Padres. But he struggled a little bit on the bump, walked his first three batters, which tied the total number of walks he had in his first six starts. And he gave up four runs. We haven't really seen a ton of the two-way player. Shohei Ohtani got hurt.
He's hitting well, though.
Yeah, he's hitting well. McKay, this was his first outing. It wasn't that great.
Pitched before.
Has he done it? But has he hit, too? That's the thing. This was his two-way debut.
Yes, that's true.
So, is that kind of all we're going to see this season? Because he's been playing pretty damn well, actually, doing one at a time.
I really want to get our girl on, Trisha, who's now the sideline reporter for them, because she'd know, because I was trying to follow it as best I can, but I'm not down there, and I guess I could just go and read the local papers and things and follow their websites. But the point being, they thought that he was a little ahead of on pitching than he was on hitting. I believe he'd only had five at-bats all year, four at-bats all year coming into this game, but they had pitched him a lot. Not a lot, but relatively more than they certainly had let him bat. So it was intriguing that they let him do both. I mean, he has pitched. He's got four decisions at the big league level. Did you know that? He's 2-2 at the big league level.
Oh, wow, yeah.
His ERA is over five. But he is 2-2. He got no decision in this game. And I wonder, I think
And the Rays won, I believe.
The Rays did win the game, but he was not involved in the decision.
No,
I think, though, that he I think that they are still very high on him. I do know that. That they still had him listed as the second most important prospect in their system because he's been going back and forth. But that was not because he's played poorly. They're trying to manage his workload. Is what they're trying to do.
Right.
And so I think they are smart enough to know he was probably wired. Are you kidding me? This has been this kid's dream to be a two-way player in the big leagues. And here was his chance. You know, he was in the lineup, had a chance to bat, and he drew a walk and he struck out. Those were his two at-bats in this game. But I think on the season, I don't believe he has a hit. I think he's only batted. Let me see if I can find it. I'm doing this off the top of my head, and I really shouldn't. He's 2-2 with a 5.08 ERA, but I don't know if I can find his batting stats here. I'd say that's perfect. On the website, all they list is his pitching stats. So, but I believe he's 0-5 on the season with a walk. I think he hasn't batted much, but he's 2-2, and there certainly have been players that have made less auspicious debuts who wound up being very, very good players. So I don't think that there's any way they are giving up on him by any stretch of the imagination. I saw the headline a couple of weeks ago, McKay demoted, and I thought, oh, God. And then I read the story, and it was like, no, they're managing his workload. He lasted just 3 1/3 innings in his fourth start back then. That's what the story came out. And he gave up five earned runs. His ERA went from 1.69 to 3.72. He'd only given up three runs over 16 innings in his first three outings. But then they sent him down to work and they brought him back. Because I don't think they envision him as like, gee, they have doubts about him. They're just trying to manage the workload. And he still factors very big in their plans.
But are they going to keep him as a two-way? Like, I mean, it definitely seems like they like him. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, that's two completely different questions. Whether or not they're going to give him
You got to be able to do at least one on the major league level right now. And his pitching has been shaky of late, but I think he's trying to.
Got off to a great start. Yeah.
But so we'll see. But the short answer is, nobody's been able to do it yet. But the fact of the matter is, the Ohtani guy is an injury issue. He didn't look as if he wasn't going to be able to do it. And now, even though he's taking the year off from pitching, he's still hitting pretty well. I looked I was following the game last night for some inexplicable reason, but I was, and his batting numbers are still pretty strong. And Brendan is way too early to jump to any conclusions. I mean, that's my impression. So, again, that's just my impression from reading what they're saying. It doesn't sound like an organization that's hitting the panic button with him. They're bringing him along. You got to remember, he's also playing in an organization that is pretty good. I mean, right. they're not. It's not like, well, we might as well play them and find out what we got here because we're going nowhere this year. They're a postseason team right now. They are the second wild card team, three games clear of Oakland. So, I mean, they're 21 games over 500. So he's trying to muscle his way into a team that's pretty damn good.
So Colin Cowherd always does that segment, buy, sell, hold. Yeah. Brendan McKay's a hold, right?
At the very least, I mean, I would buy.
Oh, so trending towards buy.
I mean, he was definitely a buy after that early start.
Trending. Now, what if it's the two-way player, though?
I would still, it's too early to tell. I mean, he's had five major league at-bats, for God's sake.
All right, well, we don't have a ton of time here.
Go ahead. Tee it up. Next
one. Right, so this next one will be a speedy one.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to credit.
False, next.
I'm going to credit Crane here. But Jordan Wara lands himself on the preseason All-American list for the Blue Ribbon Basketball Yearbook. We'll get Chris Dortch on, by the way, in the coming weeks.
Sure.
Absolutely, to talk about that. A lot of people locally thinking that that'll be the first of many preseason accolades that Jordan will get. But Crean had a decent question here. Will Jordan average as many points as he did last year, given that he's supposed to have a little bit more help this year? Way too early prediction, but you are yet the basketball analyst.
I don't remember what he averaged last year. That's the problem.
It was 14, 16, or 18, I think. I can't remember exactly what it is. Now, based on my guesses, it's going to be, you know, probably like, oh, you were completely wrong. It was 23.
No, he didn't. I mean, he didn't have gaudy numbers, but he had good numbers. Let's see what he averaged last year. I probably should know that, but I don't. Let's see. Jordan last year averaged 17 points a game.
I knew it. I said 14, 16, 18. I knew it wasn't going to be one of those.
Somewhere in there. I would think he's going to average somewhere about the same thing. If you made me say, will it go up or down?
Right.
I'll say up.
Up, okay. Playing the over-unders.
Well, because, you're asking a lot of points to be generated by freshmen. And I don't know that that's going to be the case. And he certainly comes back with a great level of confidence. The question is, you know, a team's going to counter their defenses for him, but they did that last year. Once we were a quarter of the way through the season, everybody put their game plan together around him, and he still scored. So I think he'll be around that number, and arguably, if anything, maybe slightly more. That would be my prediction.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
You got one more to wrap it
up? All right, I had a Patino one, but I'll just use this as a tease because I think that one, there's enough meat on that bone to, you know, do a whole segment. So we'll definitely do that after Laura Overton will join us next. But we're going to have Laura on because her station, I think, actually, CBS4 in Indy, broke the story about Andrew Luck and his injury because he's missed a lot of preseason action with a calf strain. But then Jim Irsay went on SiriusXM and said that it was a bone problem. And there's a term for what it is. The CBS4 folks up there reported on it. And it's I don't want to butcher the phraseology, but it's basically when bone tissue and muscle tissue kind of heal into one another. And it can make injuries more painful, actually. So with all that said, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN said that he's actually feeling a little bit better, that it is a bone issue now rather than a muscle problem.
I just think like maybe a small stress fracture. I had a small stress fracture in college, and I wish I had taken more time to allow it to heal, and I didn't, and it ended up becoming a bigger issue. So this actually makes me feel a little bit better than if it was the muscle.
I mean, this is Andrew Luck who...
Now you should see this. Now the new word, Chris Ballard, the GM, says it's a high ankle sprain.
Yeah. So this is all reeking of the will he play, won't he play, his shoulder's fine, he can't move it thing that the Colts dealt with 2 years ago. And we are the home for the Colts here in Louisville. So this is, a local aspect here on 680-1057. But, this is a Colts team that is being listed as, you know, a preseason, maybe dark horse,
yeah,
I don't know, favorite for the
say.
Super Bowl. They're 53-33 with Luck. They're like 10-16 without him. They just flashed the stat up on ESPN. I mean, are you worried? Is this something to worry about?
I'll tell you why I think it's concerning. I think when you see an injury like this that they can't just pinpoint, like perfect example, Jeff McNeil, the Mets player, he was sprinting to first. He felt a tweak. It's a hamstring. Fortunately, they found out it's just a relatively mild one. He's still going to miss 10 days, but that's a direct result. This he made this play, boom, boop, there's the injury, pinpointed it, that's what it is. This, I don't believe they're completely being disingenuous, although there's probably some of that. I really believe they don't know. It's just it hurts. And they ask him, and he's like, well, it hurts. And it's not like, well, don't you remember that play where I stepped on the guy's foot? Or they don't know. So what it is generally, that's a sign of a wear and tear injury, which means that it's just through repetition and usage, you've got some sort of a wearing out or a degeneration of some sort. And that's what I would be concerned about. And that's what one of the comments was out of the press conference today from Ballard, which was, we think we found what the source is, but he said it's... I can't find the quote now, but he said basically it looks like something that's come about because of repetition and basically just usage. And again, if I had the exact quote, I'd read it to you, but he made a lot of comments about it. This is troubling if you're a Colts fan. Ballard said he believes Luck can play at less than 100% if necessary this season. So they're already kind of talking about, well, we're going to run our guy out there.
They're shutting him down for preseason stuff. Smart. I mean, obviously. Yeah, but... that was going to be my follow-up. They opened with, I believe, the Chargers September 8th. Is he going to be, if we're doing another over-under, like percentage-wise, where is he? He's definitely not going to be 100%, but is he going to be more than 75?
I'll be shocked if he doesn't play. I think they're going to find out exactly what they've got here and there, and he may play and then find out, you know what? It's great to say I'll play less than 100%, but I can't even be effective. But I think they'll try it because they are... They're I don't want to say they're all in, but you talked about it. They've already lost a year with this guy. They are dark horse. They're certainly playoff contenders.
And dark horse Super Bowl contenders.
That's what I'm saying. So there hasn't been any talk of surgery, so we're not talking about that. So, there's no question he had a calf injury, but the lower part is more of an ankle issue. So he said that's what it comes down to. And he said it's the side-to-side stuff. Here it is. Ballard said he believes Luck's ankle problem is an accumulation of years and the wear and tear on it. That's troubling when you hear that because then you got a chronic thing. That's
right. And he's not, old, but he's not exactly a spring chicken in the league either. I mean, this is what, like five, 6 years?
Yeah,
he's entering his prime.
Quarterback, he's
entering his prime.
But, some guys... get a chronic injury. That's
I was going to say,
point.
Is he young? I mean, I could be 1,000% wrong, but wasn't he in the same draft class as RG3? And RG3 doesn't have any knees left.
He's 29 years old.
You've
got Tom Brady, 70, and he's still playing.
I know, but I'm saying once you get injuries and stuff, it definitely...
Well, that's why I say that's more troubling than the age part. You never know a guy gets a chronic injury. There's been a whole bunch of careers that got cut short just because... a joint wears out, whatever it may be. And, we'll get way ahead of ourselves. Laura will shed some light on it. We'll have her join us straight ahead. But that is a big concern. And obviously, we have a lot of Colts fans here, so we'll figure that out. We'll get to the cancer stuff later because there's really good sports cancer stuff that I want to share. It's good news. I mean, it's really inspiring news in some ways. So we'll do that a little bit later as well. I had that jotted down to try and do this hour, but I don't want to shoehorn it in here, so we'll do it later on. So we'll take a break, top of the hour break, come back. Laura will join us. We got some other stuff to talk about later on, some more of your texts. Don't forget, it's We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. We've had some good ones. You'll get a prize for the best one.
We Want to Know Wednesday.
So good luck
to
you.
We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday.
Little League World Series. This is great. And Nick hates when I do this. New Hampshire accuses Rhode Island of stealing signs.
That's funny. I'm sorry. That's
funny. Oh, that's
I
entertainment.
That. I only hate it when you look. You pay attention.
Oh, that's
to that,
so entertaining. The grown-ups doing their best to ruin the kids' game. Stick around. More to come.
You've been listening to the VCAT right here on the Bob Valvano Show on ESPN 680.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text Brown to 33588. That's Brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.